What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am your host. And today is part two of a series on our planning and discipling of our kids. Now, I have called that your plan of discipleship, as you may recall, where last episode I said, hey, look, it's the new year. Let's spend some time thinking about the things that actually matter most. And yes, our kids do matter. They matter technically second most because our spouses matter more in an earthly sense than our kids. So what I said in our last episode is that in this new time of year, that let's be thinking about how do we intentionally plan to invest and to disciple our kids this upcoming year. That comes directly from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, which says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." I'm convinced if you've been around the scripture for any period of time, if you're a follower of Christ, you have heard this verse. And as a child, some of you have heard this verse weaponized against you. And yes, all right, that's totally fair that your parents are saying, hey, this is verse one, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we say, yes, Mom, I'll do it. But really, fathers are the primary disciplers here in verse four. And what are they doing? What does that discipleship look like? When you and I read discipline, oftentimes we think of negative. Then we think, well, when they get out of line, then dad's going to step in with the belt. Kick, kick. And it's like, all right, you know, he's like a rodeo, some type of, what do you call those guys that do rodeo? Really tough dudes. He's got like his belt. He's like cracking the whip. He's like, quacka, quacka. And you're like, okay, dad, that's not exactly what discipline means. It's actually the term paideia, which means the act of providing guidance for responsible living or upbringing or training. The act of providing guidance for responsible upbringing or living. So fathers, let's read it in this context. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, the responsible living, the skills that it takes to live as an adult, the act of providing guidance for responsible living in the Lord. Dads, that is our goal that we are leading in this effort. So in our last episode, I said, look, whatever you want to call that your parenting plan, call that a plan of discipleship, call that something else. What I call it is a plan of discipleship because it's not negative. We are looking proactively for how we want to disciple our kids and help them. And at the turn of a new year, this is the time where I would say, just get into the habit of doing it. Do it now. And maybe you got four kids at home. Then you're going to do a plan for each one of those kids. And what does that plan do? It helps you disciple your kids proactively this year. It helps you, let me say that one more time. It helps you disciple your kids proactively this year. If we're honest, parents, this is not a dad thing or a mom thing. If we're honest, we get passive and we get lazy. So then our kid does something that annoys us and we like blow up and we're like, okay, you're grounded forever. Ah, kish, 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 kish. And it's like, okay, well, hang on a second. Did that one small action merit all of the consequences that you've brought? If we're lazy, then it's not only an overreacting, but we don't respond at all. And we begin to overlook disobedience and we begin to overlook disrespect. And before long, we're like an abused parent living in our home where our children just do whatever they think that they should do. And it's like the period of the judges in our household, except our children are doing what's right in their own eyes. And again, guys, we have to say we're not being faithful. So this plan syncs us up in our marriages, it helps dads to be leaders, and it helps our kids to actually have clarity on, here are the consequences. I told mom and dad I would be home on time, and I'm not, and I know exactly what the consequence is going to be of that. That is what we're trying to develop. So I'd like you to actually include age brackets as you're thinking these through. Okay, with age brackets, What I'm saying is that not every age is going to be appropriate. So if you're thinking like, hey, I'm going to spank my 17-year-old, I'd love to watch you try to do that. That's going to go interestingly. It's like you're in a gridlock with your 17-year-old son, and there's like a arm bar move. It's like, okay, I got you now. Ka-cha! Okay, then honestly, that's just probably never going to work. Number one, you couldn't do it if you tried. So when you're thinking of age-appropriate plans of discipleship, we're saying that what you're discipling your three-year-old is different from your eight-year-old, excuse me, which is different from your 13-year-old, which is different from your 17-year-old. So if I had to break down, and this is not based off Piaget and some weird educational psychology method, but if I had to break down like a grouping of ages that corresponds most to each other, it would be something like this, that 0 to 3 years old, we're talking about an infant or a baby. And yes, there are overt acts of disobedience, but discipleship is really hard at that age. You're more just teaching them songs and investing and scripture and friends. But it's not like you can have a long, drawn-out, reasonable conversation. So that's 0 to 3. 3 to 6 would be the next bracket. Okay, 3 to 6, think of this, like our early years. I have a son that falls directly in these years right now where he is capable of dressing himself. He is slowly learning things. He has a focus that he can watch movies and so forth, but yet I can't have a long, drawn-out conversation with him. If I'm reading from the scripture, it's hard for him to keep up. So just think like, yes, there's developmental challenges, but yet our kids, 3 to 6, they do get it and they understand. So call those kindergarten years, early years, whatever you want to call them. 7 to 12 is another bracket. And in fact, out of all of these years, I would actually argue that 7 to 12 is probably the most important years of your child's lives where you're investing in them and discipling them. After 12, a lot of what has already happened is going to come to fruition. And your kids don't always tend to listen to you well after that 12, 13 years old. But man, 7 to 12, you have a prime audience. You can invest and disciple. And your sons and daughters often really care what you have to say at this age. So I'm calling those the elementary years. And that's about third grade to, what is that, about 6th or 7th grade? And again, I have a son that falls square in that age bracket right now. Lastly, so 7 to 12 elementary years, lastly would be that of 13 to 17. Think of just like puberty and beyond. So for girls, maybe a little bit earlier, but for guys, a little bit later. And we're saying, look, the way that I disciple a 14-year-old is different from the way that I disciple a 4-year-old. And a 14-year-old, we're trying to help equip them. They're working on friendships. They're working on grades. They're involved in sports. Maybe they have a part-time job here and there. And we're just trying to help them become followers of Christ who are independent. And we understand our authority over our 13 to 17-year-old is slowly going down. So by the time our kids are turning 17, it's like we're starting to say things like, hey, I can't make that decision for you. You need to make that decision for yourself. But I'm not saying that to my 3-year-old. I'm saying, hey, do this, get in the car, buckle up, put your shoes on. So my authority is still very high. So have some understanding that my plan of discipleship should look different for my 5-year-old than it does for my 15-year-old. Like, I know you know that, but I'm not always sure that we have the clarity on that. So character then. So let's think through the elements of our plans of discipleship. In our last episode, I said there's basically 4 overarching elements. Number 1 is character. Number 2 is competencies or skills. Number 3 are the blessings of obedience. Number 4 would be the consequences of disobedience. So let me kind of get you started here with 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to talk about the role of character just for a second. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says, "For now this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 10 says, "Be all the more diligent to make your calling and choosing sure, for in doing these things, you will never stumble." Guys, consider the implications of this, that we as Christians, Peter is writing to Christians, we as Christians are called to pursue godly character. Colossians 3:12-14, Paul addresses the Colossians as those that have already been seated on high with Christ. So set your mind on things that are above. And yet, as God's elect or God's chosen ones, he says to pursue compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, bear with one another in love. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that your character is all set. You are actually called to confirm your calling in election or your calling in choosing, 2 Peter 5:10. With what? Self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. What's the first attribute, the first characteristic that I want you to be thinking through with your plan of discipleship? What character trait is lacking in your individual child, and what are you trying to lead them to this year? Are they too quiet? Well, maybe you need to help them grow in friendliness. Maybe they're on the screen way too much, and you're saying, hey, you got to learn self-control, and you got to deny yourself what comes naturally. Maybe you're too dependent on mom and dad, so we're going to teach you independence and speaking up for yourself and using your own debit card and working on things to vocalize at a restaurant what you want and what you don't want. Or maybe you're mean and ill-spirited towards your siblings, then we're going to help you work on kindness. So this is the reality that those character traits are things that we are proactively pursuing with our kids. So we're starting there. We're identifying what is the Christ-like character trait that we want our kids to have. So we got to take a short break. When we come back, I'll pick up with this idea of Christ-like character. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And he just mentioned 7 to 12 years being probably the most important age for discipleship. Yeah, I would tend to agree. That window of opportunity before the teenage independence kicks in, it goes by extremely fast. Ask me how I know. And speaking of windows of opportunity, the Master's University represents one themselves, a window of opportunity for young men and women who are looking for a place that can teach them not just a career, but can help them walk through their calling. Because see, at the Master's University, you're not learning just biblical truth. You're learning how biblical truth intersects with every aspect of your life, whether through counseling, education, ministry, whatever it might be. Check out masters.edu/transform right now, especially if you're a high school senior or you know one. TMU, I can't recommend it enough. You know, we get interesting feedback around here about Fortis Plus. People tell us that they listen during their commute and how they plan to implement the things that they're hearing from our fellows. And then they realize, hey, my spouse, they need to hear this too. So they share it at dinner. And then they're discussing it after the kids go to bed. And I know it sounds like I'm being a little bit self-serving when I say that Fortis Plus should be an integral part of your daily life, but I truly mean it. It's free. It's loaded full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content, and it's content we're adding to every single day. You can download it right now and see exactly what I'm talking about because it won't cost you anything. It's absolutely free. Just go to where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. And why is it free? Well, it's free because of our gospel partners. Men and women just like you who link arms with us and help us create content like what Dr. Gifford is producing. We're not funded by some big venture capital firm, and we're not selling your data. We're supported by people who believe that biblical family discipleship matters enough to fund it. So if you are already giving faithfully to your local church and you have the margin to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful. You can go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out exactly what it would look like in your life to join us. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about plans of discipleship in the new year and proactively discipling our kids, helping them pursue Christ-like character. The first element I said is that, yes, we want them to cultivate character, Christ-like character. Remember what I said in our last episode, not last segment, but last episode, which would be our number one goal for our kids is not that they would be independent or get into Harvard or get some killer job and they're just paying our bills. That is not the number one goal. The number one goal is that they would love Jesus Christ and glorify him. And you can do that in a very small, seemingly insignificant vocation. And you cannot do that in a very large vocation with a significant impact. So what is our goal? glorify Christ. How are we trying to help them do that? Cultivate character. I said, look, hey, you got to think through what needs to be corrected. What would you like to see them grow in? These are not all like heinous issues. And this list was not exhaustive. But self-control, friendliness, independence, kindness. I would encourage you to start to think, how can I proactively identify the character trait that is missing in my child? And then I want to do my best to help them grow in that. I am convinced that you can pick no more than two tops of three in a calendar year. And you may be thinking, yo, Dr. G, that doesn't seem like a lot. It's like, it's not a lot. But we would rather them master that one particular character trait than put 10 down and they don't master any of them. So if you need a list of Christian character traits, I would actually just encourage you to Google them and double check them with the scripture. I've done that for years now, and it seems like each year I just find this new listing. Maybe Kent Hughes' Disciplines of a Godly Man, maybe John MacArthur, maybe they have some resources. I only have 7 in the series that I did on Transformed, but those are pertaining more towards men in general. So I would encourage you just Google it and then make sure that you're matching that Christian character trait with what the Bible actually says. Okay, so think number one, we're discipling this year our kids towards Christ-like character. Number two, we want them to have competencies or life skills. That's directly from the Ephesians 6:4, that we're helping equip them with the guidance they need for responsible living. Oh yeah. I know some parents have this mentality of like a sink or swim method, like we're just gonna push you into the deep end. We're going to put you on the yellow bus, get you to school, and you're just going to have to basically figure everything out yourself. That is not discipling your child. And many of the children that experience that, you'll see that in their life. Like they're floundering, they're looking for structure, they're looking for help. And they're honestly, they're just learning the hard way by doing it wrong, maybe doing it wrong multiple times, and then finally doing it right. What we're called to do is to actually disciple our kids. And when are we starting with these competencies? Well, really, you could say as early as 8, 9, but I'm just going to say, let's make 10 this hard stop for when we are helping our kids grow in professional and personal skills. So when are we starting with competencies? Around 10. And I want to give you 2 overarching categories. And each of these pertain to both my kids, parents that I work with in counseling, and honestly, myself. Like I myself have personal goals that are professional and personal. So what would be an example of a professional skill? Well, you're learning to work hard, 2 Thessalonians 3:12. To eat your own bread, and how does a 10-year-old work hard at school? Oh yeah, your job is to get good grades. Your job is to pass your classes. And you say, all right, well, what fourth grader is not passing? It's like, well, that's fine, but that becomes more of a character trait and a skill of working hard than it is about your grades. So how do you work hard in fourth grade? Pass your classes. Also, think we're helping our kids learn the value of work. We're helping them learn the value of a dollar. And if you have no clue how much time it takes to earn 10 bucks, then you're not going to value 10 bucks, in all honesty. Around 10 years old is when I get each of my boys their own youth account, their youth checking account with a debit card. I don't know why I said it like that. The debit card I give to them. Okay, I don't live in Jamaica, and I'm sorry for those of you that have a Jamaican accent. I probably got it wrong. But I want you to know, like around 10 is like, okay, you're going to have your own card. We're going to transfer money to your account. When you get paid by someone else, that goes in your account. When you do recycling, that goes in your account. So we're teaching them the value of money. And guess what? When we go somewhere, they are going to pay. They're using their own debit card to pay for stuff. So they start to learn, I work X amount of hours and I have X amount of money. That's the goal. I also think that another professional way of cultivating skills is sports. And some of you are like, oh gosh, please, Dr. Gifford, no. Okay, there are some benefits to sports. And I think sports, when done in moderation, can actually be really helpful for kids. So the club ball things I have great problems with, especially when they take us from church. For those that are sacrificing everything for the sake of their daughter's volleyball, that she might get a $5,000 scholarship in college, it's like, okay, just do the math on this, folks. It doesn't even make sense. But sports can actually be a means of helping you know how to work with a team, take constructive criticism, seek to make goals, and then fulfill and reach those goals. So think of sports as a means of helping with professional competencies. So we have our first category, which is professional. And then we have our second, which is personal. And you're going to disciple your kids to have less time in front of the screen or to start their day in Bible study. Or that I've actually worked with my boys on how to look someone in the eye and shake their hand. Relational skills. Think of things like you're going to start to manage your own calendar when you're 13. And we're going to help you get a digital Google calendar and now put things into your calendar. And we're going to get you an alarm clock and you're going to wake yourself up. And if you don't wake yourself up, you don't have time for a shower. And like ipso facto, you're stinky going to school. So what do you want? Well, you want to get up early? Okay, well, get up when your alarm clock goes off. So these are personal skills that we're helping equip. So first of all, character. Second, competency. Third, these are easy. Galatians 6, these are easy. I want you to think that we actually have a goal as parents that we want you to reap what you sow, and we do not want to get in the way of God's natural consequences for your lifestyle decisions. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Think of this principle of reaping what you've sown. Ephesians 6 says that you are to obey and to honor your parents as kids. So when you don't do that, we identify what the consequences of disobedience are. But that's not all. It's not just like, hey, we're only going to provide consequences if you are not obedient. But we're also going to bless you for honoring and obeying. We're going to make your life easier. And this doesn't mean you get 20 bucks every time you obey us, but it does mean that there are blessings that correspond. And that also comes from Ephesians 6, where Paul says, this is the first command with promise, that you may live long in the land. That promise was for the Israelites, that they would actually inhabit the promised land given to them. And how do you do that? Through honoring and obeying your parents. Guys, this is the reality, that we have to identify age-appropriate blessings for our kids when they are honoring and obeying. So if you're 17, then we're going to say, hey, here's your phone back. Have a great time. Here's the car. Go hang out with the friends that we like you to hang out with. Wonderful. If you're 8, then we're going to say you can have more screen time, and way to go. You've earned a couple of more hours today or this week or however you guys design that. Or hey, let's go out for ice cream tonight because of how awesome you've been. We just want to encourage you. So think of those as practical blessings, and then there's spiritual blessings where it's like, hey, you have greater confidence in the Lord. The Lord is pleased with you. We enjoy your presence. You have more friends whenever you're honoring and obeying. But when you dishonor and you disobey, then there are going to be age-appropriate consequences. Do not expect me to pick you up and give you a ride after you just got done chewing me out and being disrespectful to me. So to my 15-year-old, 16-year-old son, I would say, hey, here's a dollar. Go hop on the city bus and go hang out with your friends that way. But I am not going to encourage you to be disrespectful to me, and then there's no consequence. Or think of my 11-year-old. If he's sassy towards me or towards his mom, then guess what? It's like, hey, big dog, we love you, but you are forfeiting time on your iPad, and no longer do you have the opportunity for screen time for a few days, however many we have identified. So you have your practical consequences, and then you have your spiritual consequences. Think of those as like, we struggle to love you. God is displeased. You will not have any meaningful friendships. And then you lose your iPad, or for our 15, almost 16-year-old, then you don't get to spend time with your friends, and you don't have a phone, and I'm not driving you to pick up food. So guys, here is what we do in the new year. Take an hour to two between your spouse and yourself and articulate what are the character goals that you have for your kids this year. What are the competencies that you'd like them to grow in? Maybe they're 10 and you're saying, let's get them a debit card. Let's help them to learn the value of money. Maybe they're 15 and you're saying, well, you got to disciple them through the use of their phone. Or maybe they're 4 and it's very basic at this point. It's like, just honor and obey and learn that posture. So once you do that, hammer it out. And then my encouragement to you, and as weird as this may sound, is to actually print it out and to have a hard copy version of it somewhere in your house. So when the boys are young, I will take this and put it on the refrigerator. And as they get older, I'll move it to a private space, so when guests are over, they can't read it. So I'm thinking, when an act of disobedience occurs, I'm going to walk directly over to that sign that says plan of discipleship for so-and-so. And I'm going to point at it and say, what does that say? And then I'm going to follow through on exactly what that says. It's also a helpful reminder to me of like, what are we working on this year? What are we trying to do? Like, how are we moving towards greater Christ-likeness and friendliness, or greater Christ-likeness in our work ethic? So guys, this is the right time. Do not be the lazy bum parents that get agitated, get mean, overreact, that it causes marriage problems. Do not be that. Guys, just watch it. Chaotic kids come from chaotic homes. So let's be proactive this year to the glory of God and for the good of our kids. We can't control the outcome. Remember that. We cannot control the outcome, but we can be faithful in parenting our kids and pointing them to Christ. So let's do that. And let me pray that God would give us strength to do that. And please pray for me that I would be faithful. I'm in the thick of it with you. Lord, we are not perfect. And many of us have fears, even from our own childhood and teenage years, that we project onto our kids. And we are fearful of what we did, and we don't want them to do that. So we're over-controlling and we don't give them independence and we don't give them freedom to make decisions and to follow you. Lord, use this new year to help be another reset. Help men who are listening to this to rise up and to be intentional with discipling their families. Lord, help the ladies that are listening to this to be encouragements to their husbands, or if there is no husband in the picture, that they would be able to slide into that role and disciple their kids for your glory, Lord. And may you raise up our kids as the next generation of the church, that our kids would love you, they would love loving you, and they would love doing good. Lord, make that true and help us to be part of that, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.